Welcome to OncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. OncLive On Air is a podcast from OncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, OncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, we had the pleasure of speaking with Jill Gilbert, MD, a professor of medicine in the Department of Medicine and director of the Hematology Oncology Fellowship Program at Vanderbilt Ingram Cancer Center, to discuss her new appointment to Associate Director for Research, Education, and Professional Development at Vanderbilt University Medical Center. In our exclusive interview, Gilbert discussed her new role as Associate Director for Research, Education, and Professional Development at Vanderbilt University Medical Center and shared some of her short and long-term goals in this position. Could you speak to your new role and how it came about?
We recognize nationally and probably internationally that the stresses on academic physicians are large. And what do they look like? It's not just the stress of changing healthcare regulations, the stress of clinical care, a very sick population, but also the realization that life events outside of medicine really do impact the well-being of our faculty. And the goal of this job is to recognize all of these particular influencers, and there are probably even others, and develop a strategic program so that our faculty can be successful in their desired career pathway, regardless of the challenges, both within the system and outside of the system. So this is the first time that we have had this position for the Department of Medicine. Here at Vanderbilt, our Department of Medicine is very large, and we have almost 1,100 members. And so we have to recognize that everybody is not built in the same mold, and that it is important that in recognizing individuality and trajectory towards career development, that one size is not going to fit all, and that we need to develop programming that meets the needs of folks on all of our different academic tracks. And so that is one of the things that I have been charged with, which I find incredibly gratifying and incredibly necessary in these challenging times. While this was designed and thought of pre-COVID, the reality of COVID has made the need to support our faculty, not just academically, but beyond our doors. It has become even more important and in the forefront of what this office is trying to do.
What are some of your big goals for your first year and beyond?
My first year goals, and I've been doing this now almost 1 year, is going to be coming up on a year in January 2022. One of my first goals that I set out was to increase engagement of our diverse members via a focus group to understand best what the needs were, meaning the people in the trenches can identify best what kind of areas we need to target for programming and for intervention. So we did that in multiple ways. We did it with focus groups that were small and targeted from each division, because every division has different needs. We got wonderful information from that. And then we also designed an online annual review that allowed our faculty to reflect carefully about where they are in their career and the challenges and their big audacious goals and how we could potentially help them. So we had multiple different layers of information coming in. And from that, we are designing programs targeting these needs. So that's one thing, was to listen to the people who are in the department and base our program development on what they have identified as issues. One of the other avenues that has come about for professional development is, in particular, our women faculty and developing leadership development programs and networking programs and peer mentoring programs for our women as they progress along their academic trajectory. What we heard from folks is that they want to better understand or better navigate challenging situations that occur in the workplace. They want to learn from role models in that respect. They want to also bounce ideas off of folks who are also in the Department of Medicine and are women. We also recognize this as an opportunity for sponsorship, meaning if there is an individual who particularly wants to get involved in quality improvement activities, pairing that individual with a senior mentor who's also on the Department of Medicine faculty may also result in nominations on committees, both internal to the institution and external. So it's almost a professional development ombudsman who is potential high gain for the mentee, but low risk. And so the idea is this is somebody who's not in their division, but it's someone who aligns with their career interests, not specific research, but yet specific goals, i.e. this person is interested in operations, or this person is interested in medical education, or this person is interested in clinical excellence in particular, or this person is on a research track. And again, the idea is not to match people in the same division, but rather to match people with new folks so that there is an unbiased person to help them navigate through different situations. And again, sponsorship. The other piece of this is that we have recognized that many individuals, not just women, but also men, are interested in professional coaches. And so right now, what we are doing is developing a system to identify folks who would benefit from professional coaching, which would be someone who does this for a living, and match them up with coaches. And the idea being to, again, help them to develop the leadership skills and reflection skills and confidence that's needed to ultimately progress in their own career goals. And so we're excited to be able to roll that out in the next few months, and really wonderful. Other things that we are doing, we have looked at how we promote our faculty. At any institution, there is something called, what we call it here is Committee on Advancement and Promotions. It may be called something differently somewhere else. But the reality is there are usually some folks at any, and this is well publicized by the AAMC, there are folks who just don't advance. And it may not be because they don't want to, but rather because they don't know how to. So we're doing a deeper dive in making sure that everyone has a path towards promotion, and that those folks who are sort of stuck in place in a particular level are actually able to be promoted by, again, having someone meet with them, go through their CV on an individual basis, and it does not have to be somebody who is even in their division, and to give them a 30,000 foot view of their readiness for promotion. And if not, then what do we need to do? In that vein, we are also creating a sort of master plan for mentorship. We have some folks who are amazing mentors and so successful in the Department of Medicine. We want to learn best practices and make sure that it's widely distributed to all of our divisions and across, again, 1,100 or so individuals that are not just on this campus, but also on satellite sites. One of the key elements also in recognizing our diverse faculty in terms of track, gender, ethnicity is also making sure that these individuals are well represented on any committee that serves to function in a role of reviewing reappointments and promotions. So we've made some really fantastic changes to the group that is involved in promotions at the DOM. That has had a very positive impact on our ability to identify individuals who are ready for promotion and to personally meet with those who are almost there but need a little help. The other thing we're doing is that we recognize that clinical practitioners who may not have a strong academic focus really are incredibly important anchors for the clinical care that VUMC or Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and in particular Department of Medicine, provides. We have professional development societies for folks who are on tracks that are tenure research tracks, and also folks who are what I would call academic clinical investigators or the clinical investigator track. But we have never had a society for professional development that supports what we call clinical practitioners. And so we have started one. It's in its nascent form, but we are rolling this out officially in the next several months to give our clinical practitioners a professional development home, and also to make sure they understand that we in the Department of Medicine think they are just as important as our tenure track physicians in our mission to deliver excellent care to the patients that we serve. So very excited about that.
How could this reshape your institution moving forward?
So in terms of reshaping professional development in the Department of Medicine and into the institution, our hope is that through very mindful, active process of professional development programming, that we will send a message that everybody is incredibly valued and worthy of recognition, including for promotion, which frankly, in the world of academia, is the gold standard for internal and external recognition that a job is well done. We also look to serve as a role model to other institutions as we develop this novel programming to fit the needs of people on multiple different tracks. The reality is that, especially post-COVID, there is what I call an academic institution brain drain, meaning people have used this time, and appropriately so, to reevaluate their life goals, and some are shifting out of academia and into a different world. We want to retain our talent. We recognize that our capital really is our people. And so we need to be facile, nimble, and responsive to the ongoing and new needs for professional development of our faculty, whether that's wellness, whether that's education, whether it is leadership and advancement opportunities. And so my hope is that through everything that we're doing, we will serve as a model for how to ultimately retain our talent. Because at the end of the day, I'm in the job of faculty happiness.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLive SOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.